You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
The SEC basketball tournament a couple hours away from the beginning. We talked a lot about what's going to happen today, but tomorrow some really important games. Chris Chan joins us from Mississippi State. Coach, it's good to see you, and you've got a big one tomorrow, as the pundits say.
We do. A little bit of deja vu, if you will. Felt like we were in this position last year with, feeling like we had to win a game or two, you know, in the SEC tournament. And that feeling, I feel the same as we did last year.
And, I listen, you're going to come here with the same intent no matter what your record is, but Do you have any sense other than what everybody says? And I mean these guys that make all these predictions, I mean, they're not the people that matter, though, are they?
No. I mean, I can't sit here and look you in the eye and tell you that I haven't seen any information that the bracketologists are putting out there, but I'm certainly not going down the rabbit hole and get lost in all the information that are out there. I mean, there's hundreds of them. And at the end of the day, you know, we've got to win basketball games. And I've been asked that question quite a bit here in the last, 10 days or so from various people of, why do you feel you should be included? And my answer is always the same. What I have to say about it will have no bearing on the committee, and I'm not going to sit up there and politic for our team. I mean, I just don't believe that that's going to have any influence at the end of the day, and our job is just to play well and win games.
I realize you're not going to be in the room, but certainly a win tomorrow helps, as any win does. But how would you characterize what you have been seeing firsthand for the last 3.5 months?
I think the league is better than it was last year. I thought it would be heading into the league. I just think that a lot of first-year coaches last year, like myself, comfortably level, it's got to be better in terms of venue, style of play, understanding how these other teams play. So I thought that would give it an uptick. And then the portal was wide open last year, and a lot of schools did a great job in the portal and added a lot of older, ready kids. I just think there's more quality teams from top to bottom than there was last year.
By getting to the tournament last year and doing what you did and following it up this year, What does it say for your program as you try to build this thing into a perennial NCAA tournament team?
Well, that was the plan. A lot of coaches say a lot of things when they're announced as a coach, and that's what one of our goals was, that one, we're going to play hard and make our fan base proud of our effort, but at the same time, we didn't have a 2-3 year plan. I think that's dead. That's not how you run a program anymore with the portal era, and you build a team each and every year, and that's what's going to be our focus, and that's what we've tried to do. After our first year, certainly a little more pressure maybe to do it in our second year. We had a bunch of guys coming back. Unfortunately, we've had some injuries along the way, like a lot of teams, but we're in this position and we've got to finish it off. But I just think it speaks to the kids in our program. We've got good players and good kids, and they've really worked hard all year long.
I just remembered a year ago we were sitting here. I vaguely remember you having a fan club from back home. Are they back?
They're back.
Okay.
They're back. Numbers quite not as large of a contingent this year as last year. I'm not sure what's going on back home, but we didn't have quite the number. We certainly got a big number of folks back from Fairbank, Iowa that will be here for the SEC tournament. I'm not sure how much they'll be in the gym, but they're going to be in and around Nashville.
Yeah, I know. I ran into a bunch of them last year, and they said they were here for the game.
Yeah,
it's always debatable, though.
Yeah, I didn't turn around and look to see was it here, but hopefully they're here for our games anyway.
Coach, you mentioned the portal, and it's easy for coaches to rail on, and they do, and in every sport. But how do you approach that?
it is what it is. Adapt and change or get left behind. Where I've coached in junior college, at smaller schools, even at New Mexico State, how we recruited was in line with, you know, portal recruitment. We didn't have a ton of 4- and 5-year guys. I've never really been in many programs over the course of my career, whatever position I was in, that we did it that way. So it's not that abnormal for us. It's how we've recruited the majority of our careers. Most of the guys on my staff feel the same. So it wasn't that big a deal. It was more like, man, you know, not everybody's going to get in on the portal, you know, way of recruiting. But it's just part of where college athletics is right now. And like I said, you know, in 5 years, it'll be something else. Right now, you know, that's a big topic of conversation.
The portal works both ways. Everybody talks about players leaving, but then you hear them talk about, well, you got to re-recruit your own players. Is that as big a challenge as some make it out to be, or is that just part of the part and parcel?
It's just part of the business now. I can't sit here and lie to you that it doesn't cross your mind throughout the year, right, when you're coaching your kids that, hey, you know, I want this young man back in our program. So you've got to adjust, like I said earlier. You know, we were real proud of the fact that last year we had five starters returning, and they all chose to come back, where every one of them had options to leave and look elsewhere, and we felt really good about that. Now, this year we've got obviously a number of candidates that will be in the same boat. We'll see how it turns out, but like you said earlier, it's definitely a two-way street for everybody involved.
I'm curious, because those have to be, I mean, I guess they're not awkward anymore because they happen to everyone. But is there a method to the madness when you sit down with a player, especially a good one? I mean, sometimes you're probably not that disappointed if they say they're leaving. But one of your best players, you always have to be careful of and cognizant of. What's the conversation like?
You know, what we chose to do for the most part is just tell them, like, we're not going to recruit you. Like, you've been here for 9, 10, 11 months. You know who we are. You know how we do business. You also have been recruited previously. So when you listen to their spiels, you know it's recruiting. And you know what you have here, bird in hand type of situation. And we just give them space. We just really give them time. We never put a date on them. We don't pressure them. You know, we just tell them that we understand the situation and, you know, go through the process. And if you got any questions, let us know. But there's no big sit down, you know, summit meeting sort of situation, because at that point, if I was the student athlete, I'd be looking at me going, Coach, you've had all year long to show me who you are and how we run our program and how I fit in. And this is feels like recruiting. We try to stay away from that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we've had a lot of coaches, before you go, talk about, I had one yesterday in front of Congress talk about, this is not what I got into. Of course, he was a 72-year-old man. But you've already, in your relatively young career.
Thank you.
It's changed. Do you just compartmentalize that? Because when you were a coach, it was a different world.
I know it sounds trite, but we just try to go with the flow.
Yeah.
What I think about it is irrelevant. What I like or don't like is irrelevant. If I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability, I've got to get up with the times and do my job. You know, at the end of the day, what I have to say about what it is isn't like the 72-year-old man you're referring to and what his opinions are. Nobody probably cares what I think about that. And I understand that, and I'm good with that. So what we try to do is, certainly we might talk about it up in the office and how we feel about it and what's going on. But at the end of the day, like I tell my guys, you know, adapt, change, figure it out, you know, make good decisions. Otherwise, you know, we're not going to win games.
That might be the most honest answer I've ever heard on that, because I think there's a lot of truth to it. You just there's not much you can do.
People like to talk about it. People like to pontificate about it. And there's people that need to do that. You know, there are big decision makers that have that type of access and knowledge and experience, and that's why they're in those positions. And I just trust those people that they're going to do their best to try to put our game in the best light possible, to have competitive balance, if you will, and give everyone a fair shot to, you know, have a successful program.
Well, Coach, thank you. We always enjoy seeing you. We've seen you in Starkville. We see you at other places, and we hope you'll see you around for a couple of days.
Like I told you earlier, I don't envy you. Talked to 14 head coaches in a row.
You're going to hear a lot of stuff all day long. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, man.
It's always a pleasure. We'll take a short break as we are live in Nashville.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back in Nashville, day one of the SEC men's basketball tournament. And we've had so many coaches on already. You remember we started with Coach Paris, we had Coach Williams. You heard from Matt McMahon, Chris Jans, and we're momentarily about to talk to Chris Beard, the head basketball coach at Ole Miss. It's been an eventful first season for Coach Beard, and we'll talk to many others as well as we continue here. The first games begin in just a couple of hours, and we will get you ready for them, Coach. Good to see you. Coach Chris Beard joining us here in Nashville. And Coach, thank you very much. We watched you were practicing. How are you doing, and your thoughts as we get ready for all this?
Is this your music choice?
No.
Yeah. Things are going good for us. First year always has a lot of challenges, but we're 100% focused right now on March. And we have an opportunity in this tournament starting tomorrow night, so hopefully we can take advantage of it.
I don't mean to quote Charles Dickens, but it certainly has been a tale of two seasons for you. It was a really good beginning. There were some moments dip, and now you're in a critical situation. I'm sure you expect that during a transition, but how would you characterize what's happened so far?
Yeah, well, the first part of our season, we weren't in the SEC.
So that's good.
There was a lot of games in that first non-conference where we could have won those leagues. But no, I have a lot of appreciation and respect for our players this year. First year is always challenging. These guys have given us about everything they could get. And so March is big. We've been talking about this all year long. Everybody's season ends up into a single elimination. College basketball, that's how it works. Everybody's going to play a game at some point where if we lose, we go home. Ours is right here, maybe a little bit earlier than we would like. But it's time to play March basketball.
You've obviously been in a lot of tournaments, especially the NCAA tournament. But is there a different mindset? I mean, other than it's single elimination for this week and during the tournament, that helps you prepare, because it's a little bit different than Tuesday and then playing Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think everybody probably has a different philosophy at this time of year. Ours is to try to play our A game when it matters most. Pretty easy to sit up here and talk about. Kind of difficult to do, but all the things we've been working all year towards, we would like to put in the 40-minute basketball game when you get to the postseason. So for us, offensively, sharing the ball, taking care of the ball, having some balance offensively, and then defensively, just being committed to getting stops. And so, this is the best time of year in college basketball. This is the highest stage in terms of the SEC tournament, second only to the NCAA tournament, in my opinion. So we're excited to be here. We'll see if we can't be a factor in this tournament.
Coach, I'm interested, as somebody who comes in from a very high level of basketball. We're awfully close to the sun in the SEC. We've watched the league go from six, 7 years ago, a three-bid league to what it could be enormous this year, and it has been. How would you characterize day-to-day in this league during your first time?
Yeah, this is obviously my first year in the SEC, but I'm very, very aware, and I remember those days. I remember sitting back, how is the SEC a 2-3-team bid when you think about the name brand program? So I can only speak from personal experience. This league is as good as any league in college basketball. To me, it starts with the coaches, then the players, then the fan bases. You know, I was so impressed with all the places we went and played this year on the road. I think this is the top level of college basketball. I also think that the commissioner and Garth and these guys have done a great job. In my opinion, there's an active movement in trying to sell SEC men's basketball. So lots of positives this season for where I was sitting.
It's interesting to see how a league can change, and it really has changed over the years. What do you hear when you meet with the associate commissioners or the commissioners? What do they try to enforce to the head coaches? I mean, we know schedule, but that kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've only been in one of those head coaches meetings. Those are always very interesting. But one thing I heard more than once was national championship. And I think the league, that's got to be the ultimate goal, right? And how do you get a national champion out of the SEC? You've got to get as many teams as you can in the tournament. You've got to make sure that your teams have the best seeds possible in the tournament. You have to have a conference that prepares teams to succeed in the tournament. And so, I don't want to speak for the commissioner, but I think that has to be the ultimate goal in the organization, right, is to produce national championship teams.
Yeah, and unfortunately, unlike other sports, it has been a while for the SEC. It's been a while, frankly, since there's been a Final Four team, which that sounds hard to believe, but it's true.
Yeah, I don't have much of an opinion on that first year in the league. So, hey, what do you think about Lane Kiffin?
I'm a huge fan. I've watched his career. I've got to know him when he was at Tennessee, and then followed him through Southern Cal. But I think he's been phenomenal. And I was talking to Kyle Campbell a couple of minutes ago, and I mean there are. It's not just hoping. I mean, there are legitimate expectations. Well, you asked me. You work with them in the same organization. What's it like?
Yeah, I really like Lane. We've learned a lot from him, just observing what he's built. And then certainly in the early stages, having a personal friendship with him. So he's really good for Oxford. He's really good for Ole Miss. He's been really good for us as we build the basketball program.
And speaking of that community, we're talking, everybody's talking bubble right now and what you have to do, but I do know that enthusiasm this year for your basketball program has really been at record levels. Crowds have been phenomenal. That has to be reassuring.
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that. Obviously, there's a lot of objectives year one. The most important is the scoreboard. We all understand that. But there's no denying that there was some things we really wanted to try to get done. And in my mind, in a lot of ways, we're ahead of schedule. We sold out games this year at the Pavilion in Oxford. All-time high season ticket holders, seats purchased and used. And our student section is the highlight of everything. Multiple games with the student section was capacity only, club red. So lots of really good things going on with our attendance. The Grove Collective and all the donors and supporters at Ole Miss, I think, have us on a level where you can really compete, not only in the SEC, but I think we can compete for the big trophy.
Coach, in full disclosure, you asked me about Coach Kiffin, but I was on the campus a couple of months ago for a football game, and I had Coach Yo on, and I said in front of a really large crowd at the Grove and on the show that she was actually my favorite coach, and I've had some blowback from Kiffin on that. Can you ameliorate this situation for me?
Yeah, Coach Yo's special. What I would say about Coach Yo when people ask is her team and her program definitely has a culture. And I knew it 5 minutes into walking into the Tuohy Center on the Ole Miss campus. And so a lot of respect for her. We're all excited about watching her team make a special run this March. But just like Lane, Coach Yo and all the other coaches of Ole Miss have been really good to us and our staff this first year. Totally different social media games, though, between Lane and Yo.
Yeah, I I think.
Which is your favorite?
I think Lanes is overrated.
Do you?
Yeah, I think what happens, there's a built-in. It comes with certain celebrities in Hollywood. It comes with music. That no matter, Lane could tweet the day of the week and people will say, that was really clever. So he has that advantage really without even trying. Now, sometimes he is funny, but I think he needs somebody to watch over his social media account.
Yeah, I think Lane has sneaky content. You got to kind of take a double look at some of the things. And I think there's always a message behind the message, kind of an elite thinker. Obviously, he's very intelligent. And then Coach Yo, I respect that. You know, one of the core values in our program is tell the truth, you know, just don't mess around. And I think every day with Coach Yo, you want to know how Coach Yo is feeling, it's right there on her social media. But both coaches are special. We've had a lot of fun following their programs in a lot of ways, including their social media.
Do you have an approach to all that?
I'm way behind Lane and Yo. we obviously have a lot to do with our program. That's on the list of priorities, but probably not number one. But we've had a special connection, I think, this year with our student body. And a lot of that goes through social media, our fireside chats, and other things we do to communicate with the students. But we can learn a lot from Coach Yo and Lane, no doubt about it.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you coming by. If you ever need a guest on your podcast, you've done a pretty good job of interviewing me here today. I'm available.
Are you a suit guy? I mean, I've been watching you for years. Like, do you enjoy putting the suit and tie on every day?
No.
Yeah. Where do you vacation?
We try to get to some beach occasionally, but we don't have specific places. What about you?
So if I saw you at the beach, though, you wouldn't be suit and tie?
No, no. Okay. This is actually the last day of it. We're here all week. The tie goes away after today.
Yeah. Well, this year, vacation's going to be in the portal, and I'm looking forward to it in a lot of ways, but also looking forward to post-portal vacation.
Is there ever a vacation now with the way things are?
Yeah, I'm not one of these coaches that stands up here and talks about we work hard and all that. Everybody does. You got to be kind of creative. It's hard to schedule a vacation 2 months out. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, we all find time to be with family. I got three daughters. Two of them are here at the SEC tournament. So, yeah, at some point, we'll take a break in the portal activity and do something vacation-wise for sure.
Well, I've enjoyed being interviewed by you, Coach. This has really been fun. A new experience with Coach Chris Beard. Thank you, Coach. Good luck this week. Joining us as we continue here live from the SEC tournament.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back in Nashville as we continue with our coverage. We've had a number of coaches. I'm well aware we have not had very much time for calls. We're going to do that now. So if you want to get in, we would love to hear from you at 855-242-7285. A little bit of a caller segment. We'll do more of that tomorrow and on Friday. Let's check in with Bear next in Arkansas. Hey, Bear.
Hey, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
I missed out on, I couldn't get to you yesterday. I missed out on the Nick Saban interview, if you will.
Right.
And I just want to make the coaches nowadays are trying to build character and prepare these young men to go ahead in life. And it's pretty hard to do that when they get them, they're already broke. It's because they're not, it's their raising, Paul. They're spoiled rotten. And
hold on just a second, though. I mean, you may have that opinion, but don't forget, what Nick Saban said yesterday about these players wanting to know how much they're going to be paid. They are able to be paid. So I don't know what you would do, but I know if I was 18 years old and a star player, I would want to know what I'm going to get. That's part of life, whether it's for an adult or now for a college player.
Yeah, but they're not all star players, Paul. That's the problem.
Well, I'm not saying they are, but they're all making money, though, is my point.
Well, but they all started off where they get this participation trophy. You know, just mm-hmm. because they participated, they feel like you owe them something. And I agree that you owe them something, maybe insurance, in case they're injured or something like that.
Well, listen, I'm sure you know a great deal about what they're doing, but I also believe very strongly that a player has every right to. If there's a market, then it has to, that is simply how it works. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree.
But hey, thanks for the call.
What you're saying. But it is
2024, and you have to always be cognizant of that. This is not the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. Saban said yesterday, you know, he's coached for 50 years. Well, it's not even the same as it was 5 years ago, let alone 50 years ago. Let's continue with more phone calls here. Tiger is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Tiger.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
I've tried to get in the show for a while, but just want to tell you I appreciate you, and I'm a Vol fan, and just want to tell you have a good day. Thanks for taking
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you to wish us well. We appreciate it, and you take care of yourself. Let's try a few more calls here. Hunter is up next from Kentucky. Hello, Hunter.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great, thank you. Good afternoon.
Who do you think the best team in the SEC tournament is this year?
Well, I think the best team in the conference is Tennessee. Now, I don't necessarily think that equates to who wins the tournament. The tournament is a little bit complicated in terms of a lot of times the best teams don't win. It's a team that just gets hot at that particular moment. But I think Tennessee by far is the best team in the conference, and right now it would be hard to argue that nobody is playing better than Kentucky, though.
Who do you think might have a chance of an upset today?
Well, I mentioned Auburn a minute ago only because I just think Auburn has a high ceiling, but I don't think I've ever gotten the tournament winner right. Or correct. Hey, thank you for the call. Tanner is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Tanner.
Hey, Paul. So I'm at work, and we're sitting around talking, and a light bulb goes off. You know, me and a lot of my coworkers, we had to sign non-compete agreements. Yeah, we can leave at any time and go find a new job, but we can't take a job with another, you know,
oh, no, of course not.
Competitor. So, you know, I understand they're not quote-unquote employees, but why couldn't all the schools just say that, you know, we're going to have all the players sign a two-year non-compete agreement, you know, it'd do away with the transfer portal. At least you could transfer once, you'd have to sit out for 2 years.
Well, but Tanner, hold on a second, but I understand what you're saying, because I've legally tried to fight these non-compete agreements in the state that you're currently in, and they're very difficult. I have tested it many years ago, and we're talking about state laws, individual, yeah. Depending on which state you're in and what you're in Alabama. What happens is the governing body of college sports is the NCAA. So Alabama cannot arbitrarily allow the state law of Alabama or in Tennessee or any to supersede that. That's why, if you remember correctly, that's why they did that. All the NIL legislation had to go state to state. Now you're seeing all these people, including Nick Saban in Washington, trying to get a uniform law. But that's really what it's all about. But it's a good idea. But it's, in theory, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I understand. I just there's people making a lot more money than me. It doesn't seem that complex of an issue. I mean, you know, these students don't have to come play for an NCAA. So, you know, your university doesn't have to. You hear me, Paul?
Yeah, I sure can.
I'm sorry, cut out for a second. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like if all the member institutions come to the table and say we're going to abide by these rules, and everyone, you kind of force their hand.
Yeah, but Tanner, I don't mean to sound like a legal scholar, which I'm not, but you would have to get the NCAA to pass that legislation, and I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm with you. I don't have any faith in the NCAA at all. But all right, Paul. Well, I just want to thanks for taking my call. Roll Tide.
Always great.
All right, see you.
Thank you very much. You bet. Gary is up next. Hey, Gary. Clarence is up next. Hey, Clarence, good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Paul, you there?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Mr. Bomb?
We are doing fine. Thank you so much.
I wish I could be where you're sitting out there at the SEC tournament, getting to watch all those SEC teams go at it. Now, the reason
it's interesting. A lot of people literally take vacation this week. They come here. I've seen the same people here for 25, 30 years, and they come watch the games tonight, all day tomorrow, all day Friday.
Yes, sir. Now, the reason for my phone call is that you were talking about Auburn being a threat to maybe win the SEC tournament, and I'm going to try to persuade you just a few words to change your mind. Now,
okay. By the way, I am open for persuasion.
Okay. Well, let's see what kind of a job I can do. Okay.
I think, go for it.
Kentucky and Tennessee pretty much played each other the exact same way. Okay. Tennessee came into the wire to wire, whooped our hinding. Okay. We go to Knoxville and practically wire to wire, we dominate them. In most aspects of the game, okay, we go into Auburn, and we dominate Auburn, and we dominate
Correct.
Alabama. Now, if Kentucky comes in with the mindset of that punch you in the mouth, and our bigs dominate like they have been over the last five games, couldn't you say that Kentucky could be the favorite, or is the favorite?
Well, listen, I think Kentucky usually is the favorite here for a lot of reasons. Often they have the best team. They almost always have the most people here, as you know. So, yeah, I mean, I can't really argue. I want to tell you in full candor, I just simply gave Auburn as a just to be a little bit different. I think they're capable of it. I think Kentucky... I also said, and I'm sure you heard me, that nobody is playing better than Kentucky right now, and that means something in a tournament. I think, sure.
Yeah, I heard you while I was on hold. You know, you're talking about, there's nobody playing at a better level as of right now. You know, and it's on a neutral court. You know, and Kentucky plays so much better away from home than they do actually at home.
Well, they're a phenomenal team. So I think sometimes you tell me, but I think sometimes in Lexington, Kentucky feels too much pressure because they know how important basketball is in your state, and when they get on the road, they're a little more.
We're expected to win every game.
Exactly.
When we're at home, we're expected to win every game.
Yeah, I think. But I mean, when I think of the Auburn game, and I think of the Alabama game. in the Tennessee game. I would isolate those three as probably, I mean, maybe Tennessee at Alabama. I'm trying to think of some recent games, but I mean, those are three or four of the most impressive performances I've seen. What Kentucky did at Auburn was simply unbelievable. The Alabama game at home, but and the Tennessee game. I mean, they're all in the same column as dominating wins, and that's what makes me think Kentucky is going to make a lot of noise this year in the tournament, the big tournament.
Okay, Paul, I got one more question for you, and then I'll hang up and let somebody else talk to you.
Okay,
now,
sure.
Out of the projected number one seeds in the NCAA tournament, how many do you think will actually make it to the Final Four? And
I don't know who they are, but based on the projections right now, I would say two, maybe. It's no sure thing. Hey, thanks for the call. John is up next in St. Louis. Hey, John.
Hello, Paul. How are you today?
John, we're doing great. Thank you.
Good. A lot of background noise there. Paul, can you
a lot of what?
You have a lot of background
noise. I'm in a noisy arena where there's a lot of music playing, but I can hear you. I can hear you well. We actually have pretty good equipment, Paul, at ESPN.
Yeah, Paul, quick question for you. I know you've been interviewing some of the coaches this afternoon, and I was going to be talking to the University of Missouri coach, Coach Dennis Gates.
I don't see Coach Gates on my list, which means that his schedule time may not agree with us. Tonight. He's playing tonight, and usually the coaches that play tonight are not at the arena this early.
Okay, well, I tell you what, then I really don't have any questions for you today, but I will...
Hey, by the way, in the event, John, in the event that he shows up and drops by the set here, can you help me? Because we didn't prepare for him, and since you're our Missouri correspondent, are there some questions that you think we should ask him?
Well, it's pretty simple, Paul. You need to ask this young man, you know, he
Coach
needs
Gates.
To start winning games. Okay.
So John, would it be okay if Coach Gates sits down here and I say we have a John from St. Louis who sits what seven rows up and who spends a lot of money on Missouri basketball told me to ask you, Coach Gates, or maybe gave me an admonition for you, you better start winning. Is that correct?
That's correct, Paul. I'm going to tell you something too, okay?
But John, he won 25 games last year.
Well, that's the problem, okay, Paul.
John, you're like the youth of America. What have we done for you now? I mean, John, can't you give the man credit for being an outstanding coach last year?
No, I don't. I don't give him any credit. In fact, Paul, you know who? You remember Timothy Leary?
Well, let me tell you something, young man. You need to start wake up and smell. What is it? Smell the coffee. Wake up and smell the coffee, John.
Okay, hang on, Paul. Remember Timothy Leary?
LSD guy.
Paul, this is how I'm going to end this today with you. Tune in, turn on, and drop out.
Thank you. Thank you, young man. You have any of that LSD? I'm getting a little edgy here. We'll take a short break. More right after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are looking at downtown Nashville. For those of you watching, that is Bridgestone Arena, which, of course, the SEC tournament will be held. Many famous concerts, but the most active resident of Bridgestone is the Nashville Predators, who have gained quite a reputation here, winning the title a couple years ago and always being a major threat. And I have I've heard a rumor that the Preds, they're out of town, of course, but Nash, yes, Nash, spelled with a G, has shown up. Nash, it is great to see you. You got big paws. Apparently, this is like talking to some of our callers. There's simply no response. But Nash, we number one, we thank you for the hospitality, for allowing us. I know the Preds are out of town tonight, right? But they'll be back here soon. What, next week? Next week. But I saw you carrying something there a minute. Can we? What do you got? A Preds jersey. Oh my goodness! Look at this. I can skate. I can be an enforcer. I mean, what? What do you think? Ah.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.